Good evening, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good evening to all of the folks that are currently living someplace under a large orange sky. It is September the 10th, 2020, right around 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it's Crazy Bear with Jim and our friend AJ. What's up, guys, Crazy?
Crazy Bear! Good evening. Jim, how goes it out there in the Midland of America? Are you straightening out all the crooked sheep on your way?
Well, Louisiana has a coast, so I don't know if it actually qualifies as fully Midland, but it is, I think, widely regarded by the self-styled elites who rape children and profit from wars and enslave people in the prison probation and parole for profit business as flyover land. And I can say somewhat specifically that I believe there are flies over land here, so it's vaguely accurate.
a lot of bugs down there in the bayou.
Well, there was a fly in the house that I'm staying in, so yeah, I'm going flyover.
Where are you about? As far as location? I'm just curious.
I understand that there might be an East Monroe, but there's definitely a West Monroe, Louisiana. So I am in that one.
Gotcha.
West Monroe, Louisiana. West Monroe,
Louisiana. You're gonna go with the old Stanley Kubrick Full Metal Jacket, aren't you? The only two things come out of Louisiana, steers and queers, and I don't see any horns on you, boy.
Hoo-hoo. You ain't far from Arkansas.
Listen, I'm not far from anything.
Yeah.
I think I came through a piece of Mississippi, too, if that makes you feel better.
All righty. I mean, hey, you encounter any fauna yet that has been intriguing? Any weird animals or creatures that you cannot identify?
Well, I believe this is a part of the country where they have armadillos, but I lived in Houston for 20 years, so I'm familiar with armadillos and their strange startle behavior.
Yeah.
I gather from things I've read that if an armadillo is on the highway and you startle it by approaching it rapidly, it will leap up about 2 or 3 feet into the air. So it'll hit your grill right in the middle.
That's Crazy Bear.
So, Crazy Bear.
Hey, how much do you guys know about those Chinese carp on the Illinois River in the state of Illinois? They're an invasive species. They're like these really big fish. And the thing is, they'll actually jump out of the water at once. So people will be cruising down the river in their speedboats going like 30 miles an hour. And all these fish, some of them weigh like 20, 30 pounds, jump out of the water and hit you in the head. People have been killed by those crazy fish. Have you ever heard of that?
20 or 30 pounds.
Yeah, the Chinese carp. I'll look this up really quick. Chinese carp.
Because there is a place in Eastern Europe which is written about in the first of the Baroque Cycle novels by Neal Stephenson, Quicksilver, I think, in which he relates these lakes in like Bohemia and other parts of Eastern Europe where the carp have been growing. I think it's carp. Have been growing for, you know, dozens and dozens to maybe even centuries. And they get hundreds of pounds. They get really long, is what I understand. Is the anyway, that's how he conveys it in the story.
Well, you know,
Yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
I just think if there's a 20 or 30 pound Chinese carp, people should probably eat it and not complain about it being invasive. Because, you know, there are people who would say that Europeans are an invasive species.
Well, the problem is, though, Jim, if you're going 30 miles an hour and you get hit in the head by anything that weighs 20 pounds, it's probably going to be a really bad day.
Well, I don't mind. I'm not going on the river at 20 or 30 miles an hour, and I'm not, you know, a speedboater.
No, you're not.
If I'm going to go that fast, I would actually rather use a hydro lance and go 200 nautical miles an hour on the water.
Hey, why don't you talk...
Yeah. Hydrodynamics are good for.
Hey, Jim, talk about the hydro lance, because that's a project you were kind of associated with. You had a friend involved in that. And I think AJ would be really intrigued, and our listeners would too.
Yes, I.
Well, okay. So Hydrolance was introduced to me by Deke Hargrave. He's a guy I met in like West Covina, California, and I'm assuming that the Covina has something to do with the Covenant of Witches, but I really don't know. I'm just making assumptions because that's part of my nature is to, especially if it can be a funny assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is a hydrolance? Well, the idea is that you get like a, let's say you got a DC-9 type aircraft or whatever they're calling it, MD something something. When the Boeing company bought the McDonnell Douglas company, they renamed all of the DCs. Anyway, so it's got jet engines right next to the tail. And you take off the wings, okay? So now you've got a fuselage with a cockpit up front, and you've got tail surfaces and jet engine. Now, you mount that on top of two really long, like 200-foot long pylons. These are, if you've ever seen a catamaran, it's a very similar concept, right? So because they're so long, and 200 feet is by no means the limit. You could go 2,000 feet, I would think. I don't think there's any upper limit on how long you can make these runners. Because it's really, really long, it's able to effectively span the distance between waves, and so it's much less affected by wave motion. And according to the hydrodynamics reports that were included in the business plan that I saw, they think they can get an ordinary type surface craft with these extraordinary properties up to like 200 miles an hour, 200 knots. Yeah, two knots. Because the nautical mile, as I understand it, is about 1.1 statute long.
Yeah. And I mean, and the idea is you could have cargo ships that went that fast, right?
You could have that. You could have passenger ships. You could have, really, you know, the idea of a free market is you can have whatever you want, man.
Yeah, that would be great to have a free market, though. That would be awesome.
Well, somewhere, someday.
Yeah. Hey.
Change that's it to comic, yeah, man.
I was going to say, that's a brilliant idea because you could take an old plane that perhaps had some faulty mechanical issues that were critical to being up in the air that wouldn't be so critical on the water, not a total piece of shit, but just something that has passed its life cycle, and use it to test out and do runs. And the aluminum hull is perfect for lightweight. Would you start to hydro like come off the water if you were? Would that work on the ocean on a rough?
The idea is that it is meant for ocean travel, and they think that you would not hydrofoil, and that. My understanding is that hydrofoiling is not a desirable feature of this, but your fuselage of the plane is elevated, you know, so it's like 6 or 8 feet above the pylons, maybe even further, so that they're at water level. And the idea is that it's more like a water bug. If you've ever seen a water bug on the surface of a swimming pool, say, or on the surface of a lake, they have these long limbs, and they extend them out front and back, and it's that long baseline that gives them their speed across the water, I gather. I don't know. I'm not really into the magneto-hydrodynamics of water bugs, but this is something that is mentioned again in the Hydrolance business documents that I read.
That's very interesting. I have a question for both of you, and this was regard to this concept or a catamaran. Why would they on this project have the pylons angled in a V formation to make a upside down V going forward and meet, or would they be like a catamaran where they'd be parallel to each other?
The diagrams that I saw, they're parallel to each other, and I think they would run into some difficulty if they were angled either to point forward as a V, you know, coming together at the front or coming together at the back. I think that would make it much more difficult to maneuver.
Okay, maneuver. I've always
the maneuvering of this would be with that that big rudder in the back of the plane. So the plane not only provides the power and also the space for the passengers, but it would provide the vertical, the rudder, the left-right rudder feature would be aerodynamic. So it wouldn't be in the water the way a lot of helmsmen are used to. And this is just a concept to convey to people how it might look in their head. You would actually probably fairly quickly develop a pure hydrolance that wasn't, you know, clued together from pre-existing aircraft. You would develop something that had the hull exactly the way it should be shaped, and it would have an engine system that was exactly what you needed. And that may or may not look like two engines, one on each side of the fuselage. It might have some other features. That's the kind of thing that I would expect they're either already learning or would plan to learn with some of their research and development funds. Because you would want to do a lot of testing, you know, including, I think they may have done a prototype, but I don't know how long it is. And I have gotten, you know, a lot of emails from Dee Cargrave over the years. Dee and I met in West Covina in December of 2016.
Hey, Jim, have you ever heard of the Ekrano plane? It's a Soviet, it's hard to explain, but it's a ground effect aircraft. And
yes, I have. And is that still running around the Caspian Sea, or did they burn that to the waterline?
Well, you know, okay, according to the information, they produced these, they were used in the Soviet and Russian navies from 1987 and through the 90s. So my guess is if you went around the Black Sea, you might find one of these things in somebody's fucking warehouse in a port someplace. I don't know. They're pretty fucking big.
I had read somewhere about them being used on the Caspian Sea, and that one of the limitations of them was that the ground effect was turbulent. It was bumpy. It was a bumpy ride. And it could be so bumpy that it would knock you out if you were riding inside of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which you can see where that would be disadvantageous to have the flight crew knocked out.
Oh, not just the flight crew, but if you're carrying missile systems, modern missile systems have shock. They do have shock absorption for electronics, but up to a point. And at a certain level of G-force, and Jim could speak to this as well, If you have an electronic system inside of a missile, it can become dislodged and it can break. So yeah, it was not very successful in that sense. You need very, very nice conditions. The hydrolance you describe seems like it's fairly indifferent to weather conditions as long as these individual lances are long enough. As long as the individual pylons are long enough, it sounds like basically that's a solution to rough weather too. Is that fair?
I think that's their intention. And this is something that people have observed with ships, I believe, is that small vessels that are like 30 feet or 50 feet have much more turbulence in various kinds of weather. And it's a number 10 Beaufort Sea, or whatever those numbers are. And the long cruise ships seem much more stable, and people get less seasick aboard them because there's less, you know, jouncing back and forth. So, you know, you got that going for you with a long baseline.
So, hey, AJ, if it's okay if we switch topics, is there anything new going on in Florida that you have to report?
No, the monkey Ebola has not cropped up quite yet, at least from my anecdotal sightings. Just the monkey herpes, and otherwise we're just tree trimming and family stuff, and gonna tackle, I got a stump tomorrow, not tomorrow, Saturday, I'm gonna go out and do a stump, and I don't have a stump grinder. Those are really expensive. So I'm going to bore some 3/4 holes into it. Add a little bit of gasoline, not a lot. And I'm not going to overdo it, just to get the fire started. And then I'm going to blow air into it, compressed air, and burn the stump down and give that a shot. Watched a couple of YouTube videos, and I've done a lot of burning before when I make my charcoal, so I think it's going to go quite well and take a lot of the laborious tasks out of it, because I don't know what I would do otherwise without a stump grinder. So, and I don't want to use...
Well, I have a suggestion case you want a plan B.
You don't have
to have a plan B, but if you do, they have these places that rent tools, including things like stump grinders, and so you could rent the tool for 24 hours, and it would be much cheaper than buying it.
I've looked into that, and the gentleman at the Home Depot said, because it's a 45-inch diameter stump, that what they had there to offer would not cut it. It would probably work eventually, but he said I'd be out there all day just up and down on the thing. So he recommended getting something from a larger company.
And yeah, Home Depot being rinky dink, that's something.
Yeah, yeah, hey, shocking, right?
What about Tannerite?
I don't know.
What about Tannerite?
Wait, what? What's that?
Tannerite is an explosive you can supposedly buy in certain states still. What about drilling it?
I don't know if the neighbors would appreciate that.
There are stump remover chemicals. Yeah, I've heard about that. I don't know what I've heard about it or how it applies to making gunpowder and anarchist cookbooks. I'm not sure entirely what I'm talking about with respect to stump removing chemical system.
Well, okay, so you said you're going to drill it and then you're going to burn it, right?
Yeah, with air, so it gets air in there so it gets a good flame going.
Well, that sounds like it's going to work. I mean, that's basically like an explosive, just takes longer, but, you know, it's going to break it down, so.
Yeah, it should work, and the stump is really, it's clean wood, it's really clean. It's been raining a bit, but if the sun's out first, it should be fine.
And you'll go ahead.
No, you go.
Jim, did you have something to say?
Well, I was just going to say, don't waste the heat. Get a steel forge and start melting your irons and, you know, shoe some horses or something. I don't know.
I was going to say you could actually cook some cheeseburgers too over that thing, you know.
Or hot dogs.
Yep.
Hot dogs, marshmallows. You can make s'mores, man.
They've got four kids, Jim. It's perfect. I'll have them come out once the gasoline clears, just as a catalyst. I'm not going to use a lot. So about an hour later, I'm going to come out and do s'mores. I love it. It's a great idea.
I got a stupid question. Why wouldn't you use, and this is going to be really stupid, so you can both say I'm stupid after I'm done saying it, but if you're burning out a stump, why wouldn't you potentially use like regular charcoal starter fluid that you would use to start a fire for the barbecue? Why would it have to be gasoline?
Gasoline's just more fun. But yeah, that would work, definitely. You get a better effect.
But I'm not really sure the toxicity, though. I think they're both kind of toxic. So you're right. If you're going to like make s'mores for the kids, just let the accelerant burn off first. You're right about that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it burns off pretty quick, especially when you put that air supply in there, you get... I'd say a triple burn rate off without the oxygen.
Yeah, oxygen is...
Be careful, brother, because you can make quite a bit of a fire. With extra air, extra oxygen will surprise you.
It's beautiful how little you need to make that. When you get in the right spot, if you have it set up properly, when it's hitting...
I had a buddy who told me that I should take my hair dryer outside and add it to my whole charcoal grill thing. I think I did that for a while when I was living in Friendswood a couple of times, maybe. Friendswood, Texas. It's a suburb of Houston.
Air dryers work. Leaf blowers and air compressors are my three favorites, depending on my location. They all work.
Yep.
Hey, so as far as like the COVID crap, AJ, I mean, like right now, if I walk outside, pretty much everyone's wearing a mask. Please don't ask me why they are. What's it like there in Florida? Are people wearing masks? Are they not wearing masks? What's going on with that?
I'm feeling a collective fed-up-ness, if you will, and tired of it. And not that people are articulating it, but people not having necessarily always over their face, like they're sneaking them down a little bit. I don't wear one anywhere. The only exception is to my daughter's school, because I went in there and told them I had a medical condition, and they said, we're not going to abide by that. And I'm in a rock and a hard place because my wife is all in with the system still, even though she doesn't believe in COVID. So that's a good thing. But she still has the American dream in her eyes, and trying to slowly melt that
so
out.
So do you guys have a child in a public school?
Jim, please don't hang up. Please don't kick me off this call.
I'm not.
I'm just asking. I'm very sympathetic. I have lots of friends with public school.
Yeah.
It's my wife.
I would not have them in there anymore, but my wife is.
Yeah, no, I get it. You can't always decide. So one of the things that I heard about from a friend was that they're not allowing the children, even in like kindergarten or first grade, like early age, they're not allowing the kids to sit next to each other. They can't hug. You know, they have to pretend that everybody is dangerous to touch. And I'm sorry, that seems like child abuse to me.
It is. It's like that, I think it was Thailand where they had the bubble cages for the kids. It's not that bad here in Florida. It's pretty laid back. Once they get in the rooms, it's at the teacher's discretion. And I have a 4-year-old daughter and then a 9-year-old son. So they are, both their teachers are laid back. And
Wait a minute. Back up the truck. I need to hear about this. And my grade school, first grade was age 6 and kindergarten was age 5. And there was nothing before that.
Yeah, they call it preschool, but it's at the same school as my son at the elementary school.
Oh, wow, that's just like nonstop daycare. Do they take infants or what?
No, they don't go that low. The 4 is, so it's like pre.
Well, that's good because the state is notorious for being part of the whole child trafficking thing as far as I've heard.
Oh, they will. The DCFS down here is they're always looking for a reason to come investigate, always at the drop of a dime. And it's pretty sad because yes, that's what it does ultimately lead to, is a gateway. And
well, I had a horrible thought when Jim said, do they take babies? I felt like immediately saying, and I need a snare drum ready. Yeah, as payment, but do they take babies? Oh boy.
That's crazy bear. So they tell me they're not going to respect my medical condition, and I say, okay, fine, I can wear a face mask, right? Because something about the muzzle, it's just not, I can't do it. So
no, I think you should sue them. I think you should get yourself a lawyer. Because lawyers like to get rich, and if you can get one without, you know, they call it contingent fee. You sign a contingent fee agreement that if they don't get anything out of a settlement or out of a court case, then you don't owe them a dime. And if they do get before a trial, if they get a settlement before trial, they get like 30%, and if it's after trial, they get 50%. So you got nothing to lose. And, you know, and the lawyer stands to make a lot of money, which is what lawyers like. And I'll bet you can find they're, like, probably even advertising for this. Because it's all bloody unconstitutional, in my opinion.
If I believe the rule of law even remotely existed, I would do that in a heartbeat, Jim.
That the rule of law exists, brother. I'm saying that there are hungry lawyers out there, and there are courts that are willing to entertain the possibility that they could also get court costs, and you know, there are different like agendas within the state. It's not all a big monolith. It's got, you know, separate interest groups. And it's always fun to talk to hungry lawyers. Because, well, listen, for example, there was this island, right? And there were these castaways. And like six of them. And one of them went out to try to swim. They could see the other island in the distance, so he thought he would go over and swim to that island. And a shark came along and killed him and ate it. So then this other guy on the island says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go. And he swims out, and the sharks completely ignore him, and he goes to the other island, and he collects some food, and he comes back with it. And this, again, he's swimming in the sea with the sharks, and there's no problem. And the other people on the island, the other survivors, say, how did you do that? Because the shark ate the other guy. And he says, oh, I'm a lawyer. It's professional courtesy.
Yeah. Hey, I got a...
That's good. Like the road one. That was another great one, Jim, yeah, that you told a couple months back.
Oh, right, yeah. What's the difference between a dead skunk in the middle of the road and a dead lawyer? The skunk, you see the skid marks as you come up to it.
Oh boy!
Oh,
you know, I'm still using.
What is 1,001 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
Nice start.
A good start. It really is. What's 1,001 lawyers buried up to their necks in sand? Sand shortage.
Sand shortage. That's Ooh. Right.
Or you're waiting for high tide. One of these things.
That's a little add-on. Yeah.
I'm using the same cloth mask. I got this really cheap-ass cloth mask from Uncle Ike's back in, I think, March. And I've been using it since March. And now it's covered in brown gunk and red gunk and mucus and bacteria and mold. And it's covered in glimbii. And actually, it's starting to move now. In fact, it's starting to breathe and think. And at some point, I expect a little eye to open up. And it's like, oh, welcome to the world. You're bonding with me first, like I'm fucking Conrad Lorenz, and you're a fucking goose baby. Yeah.
Does it have any Gremulac on it yet? Because I understand that's an advanced, or maybe I don't understand it.
It's a nutrient. It's a nutrient matrix, Jim. You scrape it off the sidewalk. It's a mixture of all the ancient oils and greases, and you mix it together, and all of the wonderful things can live in it. All the good things.
I like a part of town that's got greasy sidewalks. No, I don't. I completely do not. But I have been in places that have greasy sidewalks. Greasy and the pieces of bubble gum or chewing gum that are just spat out and become a little soft pad.
Oh.
And I understand now that there's a homeless problem. There's also, and, you know, growing ever greater all the time, that there's a human feces problem.
Well, actually, did you know there's an alley in Seattle that is famous for having just chewed gum stuck to it? Like, both sides of the fucking alley are just chewed up gum stuck to the side of the alley. Did you know that?
I'm afraid that's something that I didn't see the last time I was in the Seattle area.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a also real thing.
Also December of 2016.
That's a real thing.
Is that next to the rat garden?
This is a real thing that people go to see, dude. This is actually a real thing that is considered a tourist attraction. The alley with the chewed gum on the walls.
You got to get out of there, Dan. You got to get out of Seattle. I know you're doing your Mount St. Helen last stand, but that's such a... Because I don't know what I would do if I was up there. And I get that it's so being a Republican state and people are more laid back. And everywhere you go, you're going to get your balls busted or they're going to pull the trespassing thing. Because when I went to the Keys, it was all Democrat run. And I couldn't go into a grocery store. They kicked me out everywhere and said they're going to call the police for trespassing. So it's such a dichotomy between the two types of mindset.
The strange thing is, I think the Democrats, the rank and file Democrats, actually believe that by doing all of this idiocy, they are going to enhance the chances of a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris win in November. I myself do not think that this is accurately understanding the electorate of the American people. I really think the people who vote are not going to be impressed with all of this hassling.
Hmm.
Oh, I would agree. I laugh every time. I don't watch TV. We don't.
Well, yeah, but you don't vote, do you? You're not crazy, are you?
Never
again. Crazy, man!
Never again will I vote, no. But just to see that, the combination of those two creatures.
Well, I think people in this country have been voting since like 1788 or 89, something like that. And that's 200 and some odd, 212 years of it not working. It doesn't work, right? And every 4 years, it still didn't work. And it's just crazy to me. Crazy bear! It's crazy when people do the same behavior over and over again and expect a different result. Every time people vote, the system wins. And it's like going to a movie and the hero dies at the end. But if you watch the movie again, maybe the hero will live.
Maybe. And it's what blows my mind, gentlemen, is the QAnon movement. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time, but how you could be so brainwashed to be thinking, oh, this is better than Obama. Trump's making America great again. Meanwhile, everyone's running around in muzzles. They shut down the economy. All small businesses are fucked. And yet Trump is making things great. I mean, it's so delusional. And yet I'll talk to real people in the streets, and they'll tell me, oh, this whole COVID thing is just the Democrats trying to sabotage Trump. That's their line. They'll just, like a script zombie, say that to me. And I say, well, why does Trump just come to the teleprompter and say, this is all a hoax, like, forget about it. He could have done that any time, 6 months ago, and this would have been over. Yeah. But yet he hasn't. He likes to play his little word games because he's a little magician with his...
Well, I have a couple of possible answers to that question. I think that's a good question because you're right. I believe Trump declared a national emergency back in whatever it was, February or March, and that's what I think ostensibly, theoretically, in the minds of idiots, authorizes the governors and mayors to issue these decrees and edicts, which, in my opinion, are tyranny and violate rights. So based on that theory, if Donald Trump hit the undo button, you're right, it would end all of this tomorrow. But, and by the way, guys, tomorrow is September 11th.
So, woo! Crazy bear.
They like the crazy bear. Yeah. So they like people to have a bad day on the 11th of September. September 11th and July 11th have played. You know, 9/11 and 7/11. I don't know what their problems are with those dates, but they.
Yeah, the September 7th. Yeah, they
attach significance to it and want to do things on those days. But my two answers are, number one, there might be money in it. And Trump might think that he stands to gain financially in some way, or, you know, that the government gets more power that he wants the government to have. And there is a lot of evidence that they are, you know, restructuring the economy deliberately for both economic and totalitarian reasons. I can make a case for each of those. And then the other reason is that he may have been briefed. And this is like the briefing that I'm told every new president gets when they take office or during the transition even. I'm told this by people who wouldn't possibly know, but they've kind of got this story in their heads and they spread it. And I like the story. And so in the context of this is just a story, and I'm just telling you, a science fiction novel, plot line. The Zapruder film is only one view, and there are other videos, other film sets from other views that the CIA or the Secret Service kept. And in this fanciful scenario, the President of the United States is shown multiple views from different directions. They say, okay, we're going to watch the film 2 minutes, and then we'll watch another film 2 minutes, and then a third film 2 minutes, and then we're going to talk to you. And they show that the President, John F. Kennedy, is shot and killed by multiple shooters, including at least one Secret Service agent. And then the president is told, you think you run things, you really don't. Now, that's a scenario that's fiction. I'm sure that there's no evidence for that whatsoever. But it does seem, it has a feeling like, you know, maybe that's so. And so when Dan and I talk about this issue, we've talked about the context. And all of the QAnon weirdness aside, I will give the Trump administration, the people in that milieu, I don't even know who's responsible, I will give them credit for the fact that in July of last year, Jeffrey Epstein was under arrest. And like, I don't know whether it was July of this year, but at some time recently, there was Ghislaine Maxwell was under arrest. And I think that's actually, that's more progress than anybody under Obama, I think, made, in my opinion. You know, I would have to hunt for any George W. Bush, you know, major pedophile ring leaders being in prison. And under Bill Clinton, come on, who are we kidding? So I will give him that credit, but I will also say when that happened last July, July 2019, cast your mind back. We're going to go back into the deep past. July of 2019, the way things were. And how were things? Well, within like a month, overnight interest rates began to shoot up. And by the 15th of September, as I recall, they hit like 10%.
Yep.
And that means 3,650% interest a year. You know, nobody wants to pay that. And banks aren't stupid. So they didn't want to lend money to each other. They broke the system. And I think they did that deliberately, because that's what they are, is people who do stuff to hurt other people deliberately, in my opinion. And so then what happened? Well, then what happened is the scamdemic was put together, was concocted. Why did they concoct a scamdemic in October? Well, because they wanted to have a panicked population that would agree to the proposition that it was okay or even a good idea to have a emergency declaration and a huge emergency bailout for the banks.
I think that's pretty close to it.
Yeah. And I like Dan's hypothesis theory almost confirmed about the rationing, how this is all acting as a way to ration things.
The Cantillon effect.
Mm-hmm. In this particular...
Hey, Dan, AJ, do you mind if I put the phone on speaker and introduce Katie King?
It's fine.
Sure.
Let's just make sure the audio is coming through okay, but that's fine. Just be careful with the audio. Yep.
Dan, it's Crazy Bear. We can do what we want.
Yep.
All bets are off, my friend.
Crazy Bear.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How's the audio quality there, Dan?
It's okay.
It's terrific.
So Katie and her husband William invited me to come help them down here in West Monroe, Louisiana area, because they are post Hurricane Laura and things aren't good economically. And you want to say more about them?
Also, I have severe fibromyalgia and complex PTSD, which brings in another range of problems as well. But so my husband has been needing to stay at home and take care of me full time, and he'd been doing gig work for the last 4 years, and since COVID hit and everything, and then now the hurricane, it's kind of brought our options to a very minimum.
Wiping out the gig economy, where's that been a good idea?
Yeah, so we've contemplated getting back into candle making, and that's something that we had done at the beginning of the 4 years of doing gig work, and it just didn't work out the first time, so we're gonna reattempt and potentially do a GoFundMe and just kind of try to get some aid and moving out of the state.
Maybe Texas. Texas has a lot going for it. Though it is rather crowded with Texans.
Yeah, so our plan is to try and raise enough money to last about 6 months and just kind of get a breath and be able to kind of get more solidly grounded mentally and emotionally to be able to make more logical decisions that'll be better in a result, you know, give us a better result to live the best of the rest of our lives peacefully.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
How many years those might be, because, you know, with the government these days, we
never know.
We're looking forward to the death camps, not because we look forward to them, but because looking backwards on them is very distressing.
Hey, Jim.
Jim?
What was your first name again? I apologize. Did you say Katie King?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Don't have to say sir. It's
Dan.
It does, Dan. So, hey, Katie,
yes.
As someone who lives in Louisiana, when you look at, like, California with the blackouts and stuff like that, what do you think about that? Like, do you have any thoughts on the fact that, because you still have electricity, correct?
Yeah, we were actually without electricity for 3 days, but there are still several people out here that do not have power still.
Oh, really?
And, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, especially in, like, Charles. Like, Charles, I mean, a lot of places are evacuated out there. There have actually been some posts on Facebook that I've seen to where people from, like, Charles are staying out here in my area, northern Louisiana, and they're just trying to, you know, kind of survive until they can get back to their homes or, you know, rebuild their homes or figure out what they're going to do. Just because there's no power, or they have no home now. So it was according to the different news reports, even though the death toll was much less than Katrina, it was much greater on the damage scale than Katrina. So it was pretty bad. And it had never really hit as severely as it did up this north. My husband and I had gone through Hurricane Isaac and, you know, a few other ones also, but the Hurricane Isaac was one that I remembered, and it was pretty bad, but we were only without power for like a day, and there wasn't that much, you know, like trees down or anything like that. And out here where I'm at, it's like there are trees down everywhere. There are power lines down everywhere. It's just massive, massive chaos, and, you know, people are traveling to our area to work on the electric systems. They've actually had to replace, I would say, the majority of the electric systems out here as far as light signals and transformers and stuff like that as well. It's just like a complete overhaul being required for the state of Louisiana.
Wow. So
yeah.
Are you guys safe there as far as, like, you know, is there any chaos or are things stable? Are people cooperating? What's it like?
Well, as far as my area, I'm not the best person to ask that just because, you know, with quarantine, I mainly stay in my home.
Gotcha.
Right now, I don't have very good internet service because once the hurricanes came through, it damaged the towers, and they still haven't fixed it. But from what I can gather, the little bit that I've been exposed to, it's more a sense of complete fear. And there was a case that I'd seen recently, and this was before the hurricane, but people down here are already, you know, they're committing a lot more murder, and there are a lot more cases of family suicide due to the issues here, and I'm saddened by that and expect to see more, though. but it's something to where there's a lot more homeless now, and where you would maybe see one or two homeless people on the street now, it's pretty much everywhere. Now they've gotten to where they have to hide a lot because the cops are getting a lot more aggressive. The cops are everywhere too. It's one of those things though to where the fear aspect has definitely risen. Everybody's on edge. When I go to the store, on the rare occasions I do, it's just, you know, everybody's wide-eyed and staring at each other and suspicious. And, you know, if somebody says, hey, or whatever, which usually is a common courtesy and common occurrence out here, it's startling to them, and they don't know how to react.
Wow.
And, so it's people are in a massive state of fight or flight out here. And so while right now I'm not aware of any mass chaos or protests or anything that's occurring, I don't see that would be too far behind.
Wow.
I have to ask a question, Katie, because I have a Twitter mutual follower named Unreal Adam, Anna Adams, and people who follow her know that the reason I'm asking this question is because it's a long-standing topic. I think it goes back over a year. So is there actually a meth gator problem here in Louisiana?
Meth gators! Crazy bear!
Crazy bear!
I know there are meth problems and other gator problems. The fact that gators are maybe taking meth, I think, is a...
Well, I wonder about the tweakers who fall in the bayou and then get eaten by a gator. Wouldn't that cause the gator to be addicted to meth? Because, you know, there's so much in the bloodstream.
You can try anything once and not get addicted.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, that's total fact.
That sounds like an urban legend to me, lady. That could be Crazy Bear.
That's Crazy Bear. You know, I read about these eels in canals in England that they figured out were addicted.
The Thames River.
They
were report on that. You did a bang up job on that report.
Yeah, there. They were addicted to cocaine.
Thames River.
Oh. Yes, there are eels in the Thames, River that are addicted to smota, to the white cake, to cocaine. They're addicted to cocaine.
That's funny.
You're saying cokehead eel. You're saying that this is a thing now.
You know the thing about 2020, Jim? Almost everything's a thing now.
Thanks, 2020. Hashtag thanks, 2020. Did I ever tell you guys the story about my brother and, my whole family had eel's head soup at a very fancy restaurant in Taiwan? I think it was in Taipei or it was in like the Marble Gorge area or somewhere. We went to this really, really super fancy restaurant. And there was a lazy Susan in the middle of the table, so all of the dishes, you know, were, you have a little rice of your own, and then you have, like, the communal access to all of the other dishes on the table, so you could try a little of everything. And one of the dishes they brought out was eel's head soup. And my brother Ken was fascinated with animals at this time, and he was sure, he was confident that they would not provide eel's head soup without an eel's head being in the soup. And so he fished around in that thing, and my mom was like trying to get him to cut it out, as I remember this happening. And I'm six, and so he's 5 years older than me, so he's 11. Yeah, I said, and how are you going to stop him? So he's got the ladle, and he finds the eel's head in the eel's head soup. So he fishes it out, and he puts it on the lazy Susan, and he pops its mouth open with a toothpick. I mean, this kid is great. And then every time, there's like 12 people around this table. It's a huge table, and my parents are here. Actually, I think my dad might have been at a different table because he was one of the honored guests. But there were other their other ladies, and they would see the eel head come at them, and they would start screaming. So we had to learn to turn the lazy Susan only so far, and then turn it back the other way.
That's awesome. I would say your brother got his money's worth of that eel's head soup.
I do think that, you know, it's particularly true for my family, since we were the guests. We weren't paying, so we got our money's worth for sure, brother.
Hey, Katie, can I ask you another question?
Absolutely.
So, do you guys actually get alligators as far north as you guys are in Louisiana?
Yeah, actually, there was a time back, I don't know, it was a long time ago that I had this experience with my husband, but he was working for his father and driving down the road, and on the side of the highway, there's an alligator trying to cross, and so he actually pulled over and took a picture.
Wow.
But, yeah, we do get alligators out here, and there's actually a sign, probably 2 miles from my house, not even, that says, please do not feed the alligators, and there's a pond.
Well, so, okay, so Florida has a problem with the Burmese python, and I was curious, do you guys have any problems in Louisiana with, like, giant snakes or anything like that?
Water moccasins can be a potential issue. And we also get rattlesnakes out here, too. I actually had a water moccasin try to get into my house once.
Oh, wow.
And the bayous and the rivers, as I understand it, they swarm. So you
can,
you can get into a moccasin nest, and there will be like 100 of them or something. I don't know how many, but, you know, enough that because as I understand it, a single moccasin bite doesn't necessarily kill you, but if you get 200 of them biting you all at once, there's not much chance that you're going to get through that. That's just crazy, man!
That is crazy.
I've had friends wind up with water moccasins in their toilet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a sad trip to the toilet.
I think they just ran out of the house. I don't know what happened with that.
But if you really have to go and you sit down and you get... Wow, that's like straight out of that movie. I think it was Gremlins. Was it Gremlins? Early 80s, late 70s?
Yeah, the water in the Gremlin. Yeah, something along those lines.
Well, there was something... maybe it was some other movie, but there was a movie where the scary monster was in the toilet.
Well, that was, and it was Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dreamcatcher in 2004. You told me a while back. Yeah. Having strange things in the toilet is bothersome. I don't know. I don't like these stories.
Dan's reported that the COVID comes up through the toilet now.
Yeah, that's what
I don't
say.
Know if that's true, but that's what I've heard from his hard-hitting news fan.
They say the COVID will crawl up through the toilet and attach itself to your butthole. That's what they say.
And why are they saying that?
It's the algorithm right in the scientific journal again.
Yeah, well, they have a math formula, and it turns out that if you realize that 2 + 2 = 5, then yes, the viruses will crawl up the pipe and attach themselves to your sphincteral rim, and then they release a toxin that slightly melts the skin layer and allows the tendrils to sink in, so it causes what's called a butt itch at first, and then you end up touching your butt, and then your finger touches your face, and your face starts to melt, and it sucks. Thank you.
So you're saying it's kind of crazy bear.
It's crazy bear.
So we better be really careful when we plunge our toilets then, huh?
Ooh-hoo! Careful.
Woo-hoo. I wouldn't even scrub the toilets, man. That would be bad if this is true. And I think this might not be completely true. I don't know.
Well, I did read an article where they claimed, a paper claimed, and if you actually click to the link to the actual scientific paper, the scientific paper really doesn't say the bullshit in the article. But the article says, scientists believe COVID can move through the pipes. And it's like, no, they didn't really prove that. And yeah, it was just a bullshit fear article. But there's a lot of that crap right now, guys. A lot of that.
I mean, I'll actually share this one thing that I know that you wouldn't even know to ask about. What was really interesting about the hurricane hitting was the fact that massive amounts of people in droves began to stop wearing their masks out in public.
No.
Wow.
It was absolutely hilarious. And at one point, I decided to go ahead and walk into a store without my mask just because I had noticed that the employee was not. And I was like, well, I'm going to go in because I'm not afraid. And so I walked in, and this one man, who is the only person in the entire store that is wearing a mask, says, oh, another one, and runs to the employee and is just griping about how nobody's wearing a mask, even though the door says that you must wear a mask to enter. And he said, well, I just stopped trying, and I'm done with trying to make people wear stuff on their face because it doesn't seem to be helping anyway. So that man was like, oh, I need to speak to your manager. And he was like, it's 9 o'clock at night. He's not in. Mm-hmm. He was just like,
managers, we don't have managers. We're without management. Chaos will rule now until midnight. And then we close the door.
I thought it was funny how so many people were going into Walmart and different other places and just not really caring and almost daring the employees there to tell them to put a mask on. It was, I did wear a mask mainly because I didn't want to draw attention to myself aside from that one experience, but I thought it was very humorous how many people just kind of stop caring about what other people want them to do.
Well, you know what, Katie, I think that's interesting also because it kind of shows that when people are solving problems, they do prioritize. I think that, you know, your area has been exposed to hurricane, a real problem. And this COVID is not a real problem. And I think it's just showing, it's kind of a good sign. It's just showing the native intelligence of people, if you ask me.
I would agree with that, definitely. We're also a group of rebels, so I mean,
cool.
It's just in our nature.
Cool.
The maximum, on my trip south, the maximum mask compliance I saw was in a Starbucks that had its drive-through software fail, so they had to have people come inside. But all of the yuppie types getting their lattes and, you know, guilty as charged, I'm not a yuppie type, but I do like my latte. But they were all, like, very uptight and wearing all of the very latest, you know, fashion mask accessories and fashion mask, you know, looks.
Yeah,
and, you know, coordinating their shirts and pants with their masks. I don't know. That's probably not true. But it felt like there should be some fashion coordination going on.
Yeah.
These people are insane.
Hey, AJ, you were going to say something.
Insane. Oh, no, I was just agreeing with Jim. The COVID couture, whatever the French word is or something. I've seen that, too, where people are trying to doll themselves up, and it's just disgusting.
It's gross. It's really gross.
It's all about establishing this as the new norm, so that way the government can continue to enforce our freedoms to go bye-bye.
I've had the vague impression that people who are rank-and-file Democrats believe that if they push this narrative as hard as they possibly can, that doing so will improve the chances that Biden and Harris get elected in November. And I don't see what they could possibly be smoking. I mean, is it like LSD-laced fentanyl, or what are they getting that they believe this? It just seems so incredibly not true.
Oh, yeah.
They've got the COVID. That's why they went crazy, man.
That's a good question. That is a really, really good question. I don't know what to say about that.
No, I'm actually serious. It's because I know a lady down here that had COVID early on in quarantine, and she has since developed significant cognition issues. And that basically she's, and I say this with all the love's respect for her, but she's basically turned into a bit of a goldfish, and that she can have a conversation with somebody and 5 minutes later she'll completely forget that she had that conversation.
Wow.
Oh, Katie, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think I know what the issue was. That the nasal swab went straight into her brain, and that's what is causing the goldfish syndrome.
That's really interesting.
Let me do the test.
That's
I really need to know why they think you have to insert a thing all the way to the back of the nasal cavity for a virus, when every other virus test I've ever seen is from like a swab or a blood sample.
It's a scare tactic. It's this big, massive thing they're going to shove up your nose. It's the most horrifying thing in the world. Of course, that's going to it's going to signify the seriousness of this thing.
Yeah, it's serious because we're doing crazy things.
Well, okay.
Why would we do those things if they weren't completely unnecessary? Completely necessary.
So West Monroe is about 140 miles from Fauk, Arkansas. And do you know what Fauk, Arkansas is famous for?
I do not, do you?
No, I don't even, I didn't even know it existed.
Is it the second Corvette Museum?
No, F-O-U-K-E is famous. Fauk, Arkansas is famous for the swamp monster, the legend of Boggy Creek.
Really?
Yeah, the swamp monster.
I want to go there now.
You should go there.
I don't have Boggy Creek.
I like scary things.
Well, so I've got a question for you, Katie, then. Are there any weird legends from northern Louisiana that are like Sasquatch-type legends that you can relay?
Man, my husband would be a better one for that question because he was born and raised here.
He's inside with a kid. They have a kid. Yeah, so gotcha. You have to have, like...
We didn't feel like it would be a good thing for us to all be outside and our child to be asleep on the off chance that she woke up.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. No, absolutely. I don't want you to endanger your children. No.
As far as I'm aware, no. What's actually really interesting is that there's more stories of hauntings and stuff like that out here. Especially, like, there's this one house in Lake Providence, Louisiana, a little bit more northeast from here, that the house was part of the Underground Railroad. And apparently you can still occasionally see shadows walking around in the house. It's been abandoned and stuff like that for years. But, there's lots of cases like that. Obviously hundreds if not thousands of cemeteries out here where there's massive, movement and activity and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different ghost hunting kind of expeditions that go on every once in a while.
My buddy Ben Stone, he grew up in Kentucky near a place, I think it's called Buffalo Trace. And when he was a kid, like 10 or 11, he went out and stood in the middle of what he thought was a deer trail, but it was actually one of these Underground Railroad trails. And he said he felt the sense that there were all of these hundreds of people moving past, that they, just a large number of people moving.
I've actually experienced something similar to that. I went with some friends ghost hunting years ago, and when we drove onto the property, I just felt like all of this anger and everything. And what had happened is the road that it's on is all worn away and everything, but occasionally four-wheelers will go through there, and we could see fresh four-wheeler tracks. So there, I could see soldiers. I could see Union and rebel soldiers, and their uniforms were all tattered. and torn, and they were mostly just skin and bone, like even like some of their skin was hanging from their bone. And they were like walking towards us, and they were angry with us for even arriving on their property and wanted us to leave. So I immediately began to have a migraine. So my friend was like, oh, well, we'll get the heck out of here then. So we left and never went back to that property.
Interesting. Hey, have you ever been to Transylvania? And you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do, and yes, I have. I used to drive through there all the time.
So is there anything special about Transylvania that you can tell us? Like, it just seems like it's cool. There's a Transylvania in Louisiana. That's just cool.
There's a cute little convenience shop that you can go in, and you can get t-shirts and coffee mugs and other things that say Transylvania on it. And they also have like a little cafe in there. But aside from that, railroad and farmland and trees. So aside from that, there's really nothing in there.
There was a weird buzz just now. What was that?
I had to plug in the phone because the battery reached a low point, and when I did, that electrical connection sent snot up your nose or something. I don't know, man. It's Crazy Bear!
Crazy Bear! Hey, do you guys have any interesting large predators other than alligators in Louisiana? Other than alligators?
We have bears. And we have
Are they crazy?
Coyotes, and we have bobcats.
You do have...
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You have bobcats?
Yeah, occasionally. They're more rare than the bears.
They're not bobcat Goldthwait. That's someone else.
No, the vehicle that we drive right now, my father-in-law had actually hit a bear with it.
So that's good eating, right?
Well, I mean, it continued to run. So, I mean, I guess it survived. But we see bears fairly frequently. The windshield was shattered. Well, not shattered, but it cracked very badly and needed to be replaced. And then the airbags split and the front bumper broke. But
that airbag interior gas is some stinky gas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Warren, Kansas, drunk driver hit a parked car and his airbags deployed. And I got a good whiff of that stuff. And he wanted to sit in his car, and I was like, dude, you need to get out of the car. This on top of being as drunk as you are, this is not good. You need air, brother. I would tell about that story.
AJ, you're saying something?
Yeah. You keep asking Katie about the predatory animals of Louisiana. Are you trying to brainstorm or get ideas together for your tiger, liger, zoo, or army, some sort of bobcat, alligator hybrid?
Bioweapon armed orangutan army.
Yes.
I want to hear that story, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So here's why. Because one of the things we should do on Crazy Bear is talk about nature a little bit, but the crazy parts of nature, the weird parts, the parts where there are jagged edges, the parts where there are strange little mysterious zones you can disappear into. Like, for example, have you guys ever heard of the rumor that there are giant birds? Like, there are giant birds, like super giant hawks, that will fly down and abduct children. Ever heard that?
No.
I know the legend of the Thunderbird, which is, I think, a Pacific Northwest mythology. And I also know about the Arabic, I think they call it a roque, R-O-C. Very strange. But giant birds that fly out of the sky and do all kinds of depredations on the human population. But I wonder whether this might not be like, you know, a distant mythology back when people cohabited with, I don't know, pteranodons or, you know, rhinorhynchus, one of those flying reptiles.
Yeah, well, there's some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, okay. So these are interesting questions, and I kind of think that it's interesting to ask about the weird mysteries of different regions, and so that's why. It's not. I don't want to build a bobcat army of alligator trolls, or I don't want to do that. I don't.
He might. There's a part of you deep down, dude.
No, it's okay. If I was going to do anything, if I was going to do anything at all, I would probably raise hairless ligers that I would raise them in the sewers to live in the sewers. Giant, like 1,200-pound hairless ligers that would move through tunnels in the sewers. I'd do that.
Would they be naturally albino because they're all the time in the dark?
Well, I feel like I'm too impatient to wait for multiple cycles of natural selection. So I'd probably get like some really cheap ass CRISPR from the dude at the Chevron and just splice some, you know, DNA using old Uncle Grimbo's CRISPR that hooks up to your fucking computer with that software you download from Central Asia. And then I would just mutate myself a fucking albino hairless liger with giant ears and no eyes because it cannot see. It will only hear the terror of the night. It'll hear you. You won't see it, but it will hear you.
That is horrifying.
And no one's ever run into any difficulty at all downloading software from Central Asia.
Never.
It's always carefully, manicured. It's so groomed, right?
It's so perfect. It's so wonderful. The only thing better than software from Central Asia are 1,000-pound hairless ligers that wander the sewer system. The only thing better.
Oh, I don't know, man. 1,000 pounds. I was hoping for like 1,200 or.
It's going to be various weights and measures. Don't be all like a jerk about it, dude.
Fine. Half ton liger, whatever.
This just reminds me of a scary, like, modern day version of RUSs from the
rats of Fred. Yeah, rats of an unusual size.
Rodents of unusual.
Yeah, I guess. I think so. But you live in Louisiana, so I heard there's all kinds of stuff that lives there.
Where I'm at, it's a larger city. And considering the size of the other towns, there's very little cities in Louisiana. Their majority is like little hiccup towns or just slightly bigger than a hiccup town, where they might have one blinking stoplight on the highway before you turn to their town.
Okay.
So the town that I'm in, West Monroe, it's because it's on I-20, it's a little larger, but you go south and it just begins to get more spread out and smaller.
Now, there is a thing you might want to look up in terms of rodents of unusual size. I think they call it a nutria, N-U-T-R-I-A, and I'm pretty sure it's native to this part of the world. And since you're there at your computer, Dan, you can just, like, give us their size estimate on the world's largest nutria.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know about nutria, but yeah, they're a nutria. Why do I have to look up this crap for you, you motherfucker? Nutria.
Well, I object to your treatment of my mother in this context.
They have a mass on the planet Earth without gravitational distortion from pulsar 7.8999Z Libra Echo. Their mass is 14 pounds. They can be 1.7 feet long, and they feed on the dried flesh of humans.
I did not know about the dried flesh part, but I have to say that I'm AFK. I'm away from keyboard and have been for a little while now.
I know. So they're basically, they're basically nutria. They're native to South America, like Brazil and places like that, swamps. They're just big, giant swamp rats. Really?
Okay, maybe they have something else here, like a muskrat. I don't know.
Oh, no, they're invasive. They're here now. Jim.
Oh, they're
here now.
Dun, dun, dun.
They were introduced.
I just don't know about it because I'm stuck at home most of the time and I'm not really able to get out like I used to when I was younger.
Yeah, but they're here. They've been here since the 1930s.
Those crazy people in the 1930s importing Nutria to solve the Great Depression or something.
It was for the actually between 1899 and 1930, they were imported for the fur industry, and they escaped.
So they imported furry rats?
For the fur, F-U-R industry, they imported Nutria.
Yeah, yeah, furry rats. I'm just... You know, kind of amused that they didn't go all the way to chinchilla. I mean, how much call is there for Nutria fur line capes or whatever? I don't know. I would think chinchilla would be better, or mink. You know, but mink's a predator. Mink's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm told in a film called Gorky Park, based on a novel by the same name, that the people in Russia that raise minks, in order to capture them from, you know, running around in the wild, in order to harvest them, they drill a hole in a tree and then put some food-type bait deep inside, and then they put all these nails at the entrance that point inward. And so the mink is very happy to rush into the hole with its head, and then when it tries to back away, it gets impaled on the nails and dies. And so they just come around and find, like, mink tails sticking out of trees.
You know, that's how they capture monkeys, too. You know, they'll put, like, a banana in a jar or something, and the monkey will grab the fucking banana, but it won't be able to pull its hand back out, and it won't let go. They capture monkeys that way, too.
Wow. Have you ever heard of a study where they took a bunch of bananas and put it up on an electrical pole and let the monkeys try to get to it, and the monkeys learned that it was electrified, so they stopped. And then they removed all the monkeys but one monkey. And then they put in brand new monkeys, and the one monkey that was from the first group got so aggressive when the new monkeys tried to come and climb up the pole to get the bananas, they eventually stopped trying, and then they all died of starvation.
Wow.
That's a great story.
I know.
It's got such a happy ending, too.
That sounds like shit. That sounds like a Nazi experiment.
It actually happened, though. My husband knows more about it, but yeah, it's a real study that occurred.
Wow.
That sounds like the Columbia University psychology department to me, but like you said, Nazi.
Well, what's up next as far as topics? Anything you guys want to talk about, or do you want me to pick something random?
Oh, you go, man. You're so good.
Yeah.
Well, so here's something random. Did you guys hear about that explosion in Jordan? Did you hear about that? I heard there was an explosion in Jordan. I don't know. Maybe that's too random. What about this?
Who's this guy Jordan, and why is he exploding?
Oh, here's a quote. Dr. Fauci says we need to hunker down. Hunker down to get through this fall and winter because it's not going to be easy. What the fuck does that mean?
Did you not see, like, the, 4 to 6 inches of snow in Wyoming and in Colorado? They got snow.
Oh, they got snow in Wyoming? Fuck.
Yes. There's a lady on TikTok I follow, and she got 4 to 6 inches of snow in Wyoming this week.
Wow.
Baby.
Yeah, it's absolutely astonishing.
So you're saying that she got 4 to 6 inches in the night?
Oh, Jim.
Crazy Bear.
In a book called Bloopers, about television bloopers, and there was a Helena Montana newscast, and they said, and Helena got 6 inches in the night.
Oh boy!
It's a family show, Jim.
My favorite blooper from that book was the Galloping Gourmet at one point told the studio audience that squid, as you know, has 10 testicles. Tentacles! Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, guys. I don't, let me see if I have any notes of any importance I can mention. I had weird thoughts about...
I don't even know more about this explosion in Jordan. And where is Jordan anyway? Is that like east of Israel or something?
Yeah, Middle East, Jordan, explosion today... Jordan blast in the city of Zarqa. The city of Zarqa, that's spelled Z-A-R-Q-A, so I'm probably not saying it right. But the city of Zarqa was...
Well, it's probably a hard...
Yeah. So,
all of their Q's are hard.
It looked like a big explosion. It threw a lot of crap in different directions. It looked terrible. I don't know. It's hard to say what... It's like that Beirut explosion. You know, immediately afterwards, they said it was a Russian ship with a lot of ammonium nitrate on it. But the problem was, it was a really uniform explosion that created a really big crater. So the story about Beirut doesn't make any sense. Like the story they tell us. They tell us it was just
a
big accident.
Hold on a second, Dan. I need you to back up the truck for just a second here. Are you telling us that there are people in the hoax stream media who are maybe lying to us? Really?
I'm going to blow your mind, okay? I'm going to blow your mind. We have probably had micro nukes that are improved nukes, high neutron release nukes within the 5 kiloton range that could probably fit into a fucking artillery shell since the 1980s. In fact, I know because I know people that worked in artillery who would talk about this shit. So the fact is, when I looked at the Beirut thing, I said, that could be a micro nuke. That could be like a 5 kiloton yield or below device. That's what that could be. I don't know.
That's what I said when I saw it. I was like, that looks like a mushroom cloud.
Yeah. And you'll get a mushroom, any big explosion, you'll get a mushroom cloud. But the key is the uniformity of it. It was such an incredibly powerful explosion, and it happened so quickly. And what people don't realize is to do that with conventional explosives, it takes effort. Because conventional explosives won't randomly explode in uniform ways. What you'll get are secondary explosions. So like, let's say Beirut was what they described, and that is a giant fucking... ship with a lot of fucking fertilizer on it or a warehouse or whatever. Unless you wired it to all explode at once, you would have an explosion and then you would have material that's still explosive thrown every direction and then you'd have secondary explosions. I didn't see
What if it was all contained though in a single structure?
It doesn't matter because you're still talking about, I mean, we're talking about tons and tons of materials, Jim. And in terms of, yeah. And we're talking about random ignition. They're saying it was an accident. So that's random ignition, which means that unless you're setting it up, it's why when people work with these explosives, you know, you see them work with a lot of igniters. You want ignition to happen uniformly. Well, this wasn't uniform. So how did it behave?
That's really interesting.
And
that volcano film that came out with, Tommy Lee Jones playing the emergency management guy.
Yeah.
They set up they want to drop a building and create a trench, and they have all of these detonators. It's just huge numbers. And they're now, of course, doing them all in sequence. And there are children! Because, you know, it's the climax of the film. But yeah, anyway, go ahead.
I mean, here's the deal. I don't know because the only information I have is the same cruddy source you guys have. So... I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, it's not like they've ever lied to us before, Dan.
No.
Except like 1896 continuously.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's like really blown my mind recently is like this picture, and I saw this meme compilation of this woman that they are saying is the same woman, but she creates like different personas, and I guess they've like I can't remember what they called her, but like she was at the bombing in Florida, at the gay club, and then also for George Floyd, she was there, and then a few other instances where it was like this horrible situation that occurred, and like she was there to like give her kind of a
crisis story. Crisis actor.
Basically, that's what it was, and it was something to where I had never realized that that was actually a thing, and I'm like, you know, the more I live, the more I feel like I'm living in a movie, and it's like, people need to wake up, because it's crazy, you know,
it's crazy, man!
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't expect it, as far as, I mean, I wouldn't expect it. But I'm one of those people that I try to live an honest life, and I try to treat others right and do the right thing. And so it's weird for me to expect other people to not do the same thing.
Hey,
and so when I see, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
It's okay. So when I see people acting in a way that is not kind or dishonest or whatever, it baffles me as to why they would do that.
Right.
And why they could do that, and why they could handle looking at themselves, or how they could handle looking at themselves in the mirror, knowing what they're doing. It just completely baffles me.
Yeah. There's a lot of baffling human behavior right now in terms of what people are doing, how they're treating each other. It's kind of scary and gross. It's hard to.
Yeah. I heard somebody say, I don't accept 2020's behavior.
So I got a question for you, Katie, okay? And then others can chime in with their own answer, but here's the question. You're a hunter. You've gone hunting before, right?
I actually have not.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. Okay. So, but are you opposed to hunting?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so let's say you were going hunting in Louisiana, and you came across what could only be called Bigfoot. Would you shoot Bigfoot?
Would I shoot Bigfoot?
Yes.
Would he be coming at me and attacking me, or just standing there and doing
it? Yeah, what's the zero aggression principle part of it?
No, because here's the thing, all right? It's not that I would want to do the zero aggression principle. It's that if it is a Bigfoot, there's obviously very few of them, and I would not be able to handle killing something that was maybe the last existent, or, you know, one of the few last in existence. And I feel like in hunting deer and bear and turkeys and other things like that, you know, we do that out here to help the population of the species to maintain a balance. And, you know, because if we did not go hunting, then we would get so many deer in our streets. I mean, we already do in the winter, but, you know, we would get overthrown by deer
right.
And bears and
okay.
You know, different things.
Okay, so Katie, can I expand upon the question then and change the direction a little? Okay. So imagine, okay, let's all put on our imagination helmet. Imagine that all of a sudden people in your community start waking up in the morning to noises, and they go outside and they see Bigfoots rummaging through their garbage cans. And it's like, it's a real problem. Like, there's Bigfoots rummaging through the garbage. There's Bigfoots, you know, tearing the rearview mirrors off your cars. There's Bigfoots just causing nothing but problems. Getting, you know, so then what? What do you do if there's too many Bigfoot?
Well, then, you would need to manage the population size.
Well, how would you do that?
You could have a catch and release
cracker. I feel like the only reason that you would do that, though, is if they were viable eating sources.
Well, okay. Can I add another fact? Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Bigfoot is the tastiest meat you'll ever eat. It is the healthiest. It contains the most vitamins. In fact, it contains special energon molecules that give you special powers. So Bigfoot's amazing. Like, people Go ahead.
Then I'm going to throw it in my gumbo for dinner.
Bigfoot gumbo is the best gumbo ever.
I know, right?
It is. So my question is, okay, so imagine a Bigfoot is out there and you're hunting, and the the Bigfoot comes at you and starts to you're going to shoot the Bigfoot then, right? If the Bigfoot's going after you.
Yeah, for survival.
How would you do it? Would you shoot the Bigfoot in the head?
Well, if you shoot it in the foot, it's just going to get angry.
I'm sorry, the combination of those words is hilarious. I don't know. I'll tell you what, the last time I shot a gun, I think I was 12. I lied. No, I forgot. I did demolish a Hawaiian punch bottle a few years back. I have no idea, honestly. I think what I would probably do is I would probably go for the upper shoulder. And only assumption that it had a similar, blood source structure, whatever you want to call it, to where us as humans, because if you shoot any human in the shoulder, between the end of the shoulder and your collarbone, the vital blood vessel, and it would bleed out quickly.
I like the femoral artery myself, and a lot of the police, tactical equipment doesn't. Oh wait, what did I say?
Well, okay, though. So here's the deal about the situation with Bigfoot, is that.
Okay.
What if the only way you could save Bigfoot is to kill Bigfoot? Like, what if literally you have to kill Bigfoot to save Bigfoot? Would you shoot Bigfoot in order to do that?
Like, Bigfoot would, like, how would it save Bigfoot, though?
Okay. Well, this is how. Okay, this is how it saves Bigfoot. You shoot Bigfoot, okay? And let's say it's like the last Bigfoot left alive. But you do a really good job. You stick them in the freezer. A bunch of genetic scientists with CRISPRs from Chevron Station, they start splicing the DNA of Bigfoot. And then now you got Bigfoot that they splice with coyote. So you got koi foot. And you're growing koi foot in Louisiana. And that is the taco meat of 2027. Koi foot. Coyote Bigfoot taco meat. Louisiana style gumbo special. Getting a bead of purple haze and you'll be cooking with gas. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. Love it. Yes, I would.
So you have to shoot Bigfoot, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Most definitely. I need my gumbo.
Gumbo ain't gonna cook itself.
No.
Koi isn't gonna crisper itself.
No, it's not. The koi, mixing coyote with Bigfoot might be the most amazing thing ever, but potentially the most dangerous. It might be safer to mix Bigfoot with, like, bobcat. No, maybe.
No.
Half bobcat, half Bobfoot. And it's like you're out hunting in Louisiana swamps, and someone says, "What is that?" Oh, God damn it. Somebody, that's a bobfoot. Half bobcat, half Bigfoot. And that thing just comes up to you. It's like 15 feet tall, but it's got a big old bobcat head, and it just bends over and just bites your head off.
Oh, my God. That's very scary. I was thinking that we combine the mass gator and the Bigfoot, and we could get foot gator.
Alligator. Alla-footer. Alla-footer, yeah.
Where, like, the feet are the bobcat feet, and it has a bobcat tail, and it has the alligator head with the Bigfoot body.
Yeah.
And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea with seven heads and ten horns.
Yeah, we're narrowing in. We're narrowing in. We're getting pretty close to why God sent the flood. We're getting real close to why God had the flood right here. These conversations, you know, go ahead.
I've actually heard some people say that it was due to Atlanteans being suspicious to the Egyptians.
Yeah, Atlanteans are...
You state that position, as I understand it,
But they were giant and being very oppressive to the Egyptians, and that was one of the reasons as to why the flood happened.
Plato says, and Plato wouldn't stare us wrong, would he?
No.
With his noble lie and his metaphor of the cave. That guy.
Well, he says the thing, though. If we're going to get into the business of producing the next taco meat, shouldn't we think about taking the choicest of the choice, like taking a pig? Take a pig and a cow, okay? And we'll call it pow. Pow. Think about it.
That's an idea.
Oh, my God. Half pig, half cow. Pow. Pow burgers.
I think that would get so many people so angry, though.
Or we could combine the pig with a female sheep and call it a pew.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever had frog?
No, I haven't.
It's really good. That and gator is very good, too, though. It's a little chewy. But it's really good. I actually went to the Duck Dynasty diner back when it was open, you know, normally. And their gator is probably one of the best gator I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Y'all remember when they had restaurants in this country and people could go inside and eat without having to wear a mask all the way over to the table?
That was before, yeah, that was before they accidentally released Bobfoot. And 15-foot Bigfoot bobcats ravaging the countryside. But you're right, before Bobfoot. Time before that. Better time.
Hey, AJ, we haven't heard from you in a while, and I feel bad. Because I didn't tell you I was inviting a guest on the show tonight.
No, you didn't.
Oh, no, I'm enjoying it, Jim.
Why would I know?
You asked me last night about this.
Yeah, I know.
Just waiting until I show up.
Spontaneity, man. You gotta be spontaneous. All of the
fans
planning stuff. I like to throw these. This is crazy, man. You have to throw the other people off. The other hosts have to be thrown off balance.
Yeah.
What? We have a guy? What's going on? What? Jim isn't in Ohio anymore? It's crazy, Bear.
Hey, we're almost done for Crazy Bear for tonight, so before we go, does anybody have a topic they want to discuss in the last 10, 15 minutes?
AJ, you go.
Come on, AJ.
I put him on the spot.
No, I would ask everybody, if since we're on the eve of September 11th and 19th anniversary... Dan brought up the mini nukes earlier. If you're familiar with the Dustify, the Judy Wood stuff, and I've seen the video of the thermite coming out. I know they had charges in there, but my theory is that they had the thermite charges, and then they had an insurance plan, which was some sort of either a due, like they used in the California wildfires, or perhaps Dan brought to my mind like a mini nuke or something, because it dustified. It did. Everyone can see in the video. So I just wanted to hear everyone's best theory on what actually brought them down. Since we are on the eve of September 11th, 19 years out during the COVID-19.
Well, I think it's pretty well established that Building 7 was deliberately pulled, because there's that guy, you know, saying pull it.
Yeah.
And I don't see any realistic engineering analysis of the actual structure of the World Trade Center's
way
the official story said.
Yeah, you broke up a little bit there, Jim.
Sorry, I'm afraid we're talking about a national security topic, and so we have to expect an appearance.
Yeah.
It's so hard to withstand. Please, run away! Leave me alone! Take with you what you can save. They're coming with a black helicopter. Oh, no, black helicopters! No!
Go ahead,
they're
Katie.
They're actually dark olive drab, but still.
Okay.
This is actually a topic that I've studied kind of intently, and some people call me weird in that, but in some of the different documentaries and interviews that I've seen, there's a lot of different people that have mentioned how when the tower fell, there was a pop, pop, pop all the way up the building. And, firefighters have said this, people just outside the building have said this, and then even some people down the street said that.
Yeah.
So, I do believe that it was intentional.
Well, one of the thoughts...
What about your theory, Jay?
Go ahead.
What's that, Jim? I didn't...
What's your theory, AJ?
Oh,
it was a gremlin.
Yeah, well, first it was the gremlins went in to install the thermite, and then from there, because you can see it from the videos of course, Building 7, that's my go-to if anyone's starting to wake up, just, hey, do you know the third tower fell? Because they don't, of course, the lamestream media doesn't ever like to talk about that, and they're wiping it from the YouTube. You can't really find the videos too much anymore of Building 7. But that's just a slam dunk. I don't even meditate on that because it's so easy to see how much that was intentional. But the first two, if you see, they've got the jumper videos, which are very sad. But before the people are jumping or before the towers collapse, you can see the about 10 seconds before, just thermite pouring out like an iron factory from a couple stories below it. It's clear as day. And, of course, there's the whole melting point of steel is, 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit versus an open-air fire, 900, maybe max 1,100 degrees, plus you've got the cooling effect of a 70-degree day. So it's just impossible physics-wise to have that happen symmetrically. At best, maybe the tower kind of, from this 90th story, wherever the impact occurred, was toppled over, but no symmetrical collapse. So you got the thermite that was installed probably 18 months in advance, and then I believe just to make sure the job got done, they used either a DEW directed energy weapon, something like we see the California wildfires. One of my favorite thoughts for people to chew on is, oh, we put a man on the moon 50 years ago, but we can't put out a wildfire in 2020. It's a fucking joke. So it's obviously intentional not to go to that topic, but they might have used something like that because the dews are attracted to metal. You can see that in the wildfires where there'll be a whole tree not touched, but then the whole house is just burnt to the ground because there's metal inside, all the conductive copper and so forth, or a car is just down to the tires. So they did that, or Dan brought up earlier the mini nukes, which I don't know anything about that, but it's curious to me because the Beirut thing, it makes it look like that could have been a similar situation. They might have used that in 9/11. So that's my best guess. It was a combination to make sure it got done, and it did get done because it was justified.
Those are pretty good answers. Yeah.
What about your answer, Dan?
I don't really know for certain how they did it. I am certain it was a organized conspiracy. I am certain we were lied to. I'm fairly certain it was our government working with the Israelis. I think that's the most logical path.
So you're going to discount the entire coy foot related ambiguity in the story?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's possible that the Bobfoot and coyote dog meet and all that, yeah, it could be, but I don't know, people. I'm pretty certain it was an inside job, but did they use nanothermite? It looks like they did use something like a thermite to liquefy the structure. Because the one thing to keep in mind, it is a basic math problem. You need so much energy to melt the steel to form it in the first place. And that steel structure was, like AJ said, it was dustified. It was obliterated. There's a certain amount of energy required to do that, and you can do it. That's a math problem. You can compare that amount of energy to the total amount of energy contained in any amount of fuel in an airplane plus the kinetic energy of impact. The numbers don't add up. It is thermodynamics 101, and because the numbers would never add up, it's obviously we were fed bullshit. That's how I look at it.
There were, I don't know if there still are, but there were videos on YouTube years ago that showed servicemen coming in and working in the elevator shafts of the towers, of the Twin Towers, either a few days before or even just the day before it occurred. And then not just that, but then there were other people that have done testing with airplane fuel to see how it would react with the iron poles or whatever you call it.
Curve.
Yes. And but basically it would slightly bend, but it really wouldn't have that much of an effect on it initially. Just the airline fuel and the structure itself.
Yeah.
So something was done to the building to cause that.
Have you ever seen that film Loose Change 9/11?
Yeah.
I think that's one of those classic early, like 2006 or something.
Yep.
Overview films about all of the problems, and they, if I recall correctly, they pointed out that you know, some of the things that we were told, like the cell phone conversations, would not have been possible at that time, because the planes didn't have their own cell tower, you know, installations inside the plane, and there is a theory that those passengers were taken somewhere else, and that it wasn't those planes that hit the building. It was different, you know, different vehicle, drones or some other sort of vehicle. And the people, you know, who were absconded with are off somewhere being slaves in a slave camp.
Wow. I've never heard that before.
I heard that back in, like I said, 2006 or 2007. And at the time, you know, I was already fairly radical. I mean, I'm so old I got to vote for Ron Paul in 1988.
You know, another thing I've heard too is what if there were no plane impacts? I've heard the idea that very advanced holography was used to mimic that, but there were no planes. And I don't know if you guys have heard that before.
I have seen a thing where there is a video which shows a crane in the foreground and the plane should be behind it the whole time, and the construction crane sometimes appears behind the plane in some of the video footage from one of the major news outlets. I've looked at the slow-mo on that, and it does look, you know, like animation.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, there were reports on, I think, at least one European, like London-based news outlet, of Building 7 falling.
Yeah. Yeah, 15 minutes early.
Yeah. They're actually hitting their cue a little off, and
it's still in the background.
People still insist that this is why we had Afghanis and Saudis flying planes into buildings, and therefore we had to attack Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure how that works, but
if only we could have built the World Trade Centers out of passport material. If only.
The inflated tire. Have you guys seen that on Good Morning America back in 2001? There's an inflated tire that they showed from one of the planes on the ground. An inflated fucking tire. Such a joke.
It is.
No, I don't think there are any planes because there's a bunch of bad CGI and that they don't match up. And one of the things that blows my mind is, okay, so the first plane hits and you've got the guys working the sewer grates and they look up at the last second. We've all seen that video. All right, fine. Nobody knows it's coming. But 20 minutes about later,
every camera should have been, think how many cameras between the tourists and the news stations should have been on both the towers. There should be 1,000 videos of planes, of the plane, excuse me, the plane hitting the second tower. There's about 18 videos you can find, and they don't really match up, like Jim was saying about the shadows and overlays and things like that. So I think they may have used a torpedo or something, and they had the predictive programming. The original crisis actor Harley guy is down there talking on Fox News saying that he saw both planes hit and that it was a collapse due to structural fires, like giving the official narrative 30 minutes after the buildings collapse on Fox News. It's just total predictive program crisis actor. So it is obviously all a play, and all the world's a stage, and it's thankful we got four people here tonight that can see through it.
Well,
so,
and I can I just say
talking to you guys.
And guys, can I just say this really quick too, and maybe we can have a few comments on this. No matter how implausible the story is about what happened in New York, the Pentagon story never made any sense. Ever.
No.
Ever.
No. What's his name is running around the front lawn helping out. Why is he worried about what? Rumsfeld is on the front lawn trying to pick up stretchers. What the fuck? We got a national security issue and you're trying to play paramedic?
Yeah.
What a joke.
But I mean,
well, I think it's incredible that they only have really like very one or two cameras that actually catch the plane coming in, considering it's the Pentagon.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't have any video coverage. But the best part for me of the Pentagon story is that the one room, the one section of the building is the place where all of the information about the $2 trillion missing dollars was stored.
Yeah.
They just happened to destroy that particular set of information. And you love that. I mean, what are the odds?
Convenient obliteration.
That was just good luck. That was, you know what that was? That was good old fashioned country luck. Good old fashioned country luck.
That's like the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City just happens to have all of the ATF footage from Waco, and there just happens to be a big investigation going on, and Congress wants, you know, the ATF, oh, sorry, all our evidence got blown up.
Blowed up, yeah.
That's just good old fashioned country luck, Jim. That's just good old. That's the
we
buy.
We need a bunch of all of that luck, man. We need more of that, right?
Yeah.
I need some Bayou luck. That's good old fashioned Bayou luck. That's Louisiana country Bayou luck.
I know that there are casinos where you can buy insurance on your crap table, but I didn't know you could buy you luck.
Oh boy, that's a Beatles
that was
song.
Good,
don't buy me luck. I'm kidding.
Buy you luck.
Okay, guys, we got to get going, but any parting thoughts? AJ first, parting thoughts?
No, it was great surprise to have Katie on, and I enjoy talking to you two gentlemen as always. Look forward to the next one in the future.
And Katie, you got any parting thoughts?
I just really appreciate you guys welcoming on here, as surprising as it was, and it was very pleasant to speak with you all.
Good. It was cool talking to you, too. You rock, and I hope you're well, and I hope things turn out okay. And please let us know, you know, I'm glad Jim's there to help out, but please let people know. But I'm really glad you joined us, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
And Jim, parting thoughts?
Well, the menu of the restaurant says buy you chicken, but I ain't gonna buy you chicken.
Bobfoot's coming for you, Jim. The hairless ligers and Bobfoot are coming for you in the bayou.
I'm gonna wait up for Bobfoot. I'm gonna be ready. I'm gonna be outside waiting for Bobfoot.
And the meth head alligators.
No, I'm not gonna lie.
The meth head alligators got their eyes on you, Jim. The meth head alligators. The tweaker gators.
What about you, Dan? Any parting thoughts?
Other than it's good to talk to you folks. And for all the listeners, thank you for listening. It is Thursday, I can't believe it, September the 10th, 2020, near 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And as always, guys, you know, go out there and be careful and stay away from the meth head alligators. Peace out.
Absolutely.